While many episodes of the Ranveer Show are pretty intense, some are just genuine heart-to-heart conversations. You guys will enjoy this one with Tamanna Bhatia. Spoke about everything from relationships to the inside world of Bollywood to her own mindset when it comes to hustling her way to the top of the Indian film industry. If you want to check out highlights of this episode, make sure you check out the Ranveer Show clips. It's our third YouTube channel. And also get set for the Hindi podcast. Extremely deep, extremely enriching content now in India's national language. Check it out on our Hindi YouTube channel, Ranveer Alawadhya, and it will be on every single audio platform very soon. Watch out for the Ranveer Show Hindi. But for now, check out Tamanna Bhatia on the Ranveer Show. Tamanna Bhatia, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me on it. It's my first. So I'm super excited and also a tad bit nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm someone who watches a lot of podcasts and I've seen a lot of yours. And I'm just really intrigued by how you tap into like a side of people that probably they don't put out so much, say, in an interview.
Are you ready for some very deep questions?
Oh, yeah. I think it's high time. If post-COVID we can't have deep conversations, I don't think we can ever do that.
So. I'm going to talk to you about your whole COVID experience.
Yeah.
You recovered now.
Yes.
But my first question to you in this is something I've always asked a lot of my actor friends, both the guys, the women. Do you like being famous?
I don't particularly enjoy the fame part of it. It's
Why?
Very humbling. But I don't really, because I'm a very non-filmy person, for people who know me closely. In fact, sometimes when people meet me, they're like, you're not like an actress or you're not like a heroine.
Yeah, I wanted to introduce you like that. Like, usually when I talk to anyone from the film industry, there is this little air around them and you
Pata
don't
nahi
have
kya
that.
Hai wo. But mujhe bhi aaj tak samajh bhi nahi hai ki wo air hota kya hai. And I have never had that. And I feel like the being in front of the camera part is good, but everything else that comes is kind of a liability.
What else comes with it?
Well, there is really no privacy which comes with it. A lot of, people think that becoming an actor is empowering and makes you really like
powerful.
Invincible. Yeah. You're like, nobody can touch you, you know. But I think it actually makes you a lot more vulnerable.
Like in what way?
In every way. Because every step you take, and I mean, honestly, there's enough moral policing that's done in life. And then when you become an actor, it becomes like a zillion fold. So I feel like every step you take, whether you like it or not, you are taking it from the perspective of what will people think. And I think enough number of memes have proved that what people think has ruined enough lives.
Are you happy in life now?
I think I have come to this point where I've realized that there is never this point that we will actually be completely happy.
So like you'll always feel some void.
Yeah, that void will always be there. But what I've started doing is, and very consciously that is to enjoy the small things. Because I realized ki yaar, main jab award jeet ke bhi aati hu, main ghar pe aake ya to samosa khati hu, ya to I end up eating a bag of chips. And I treat myself and I'm with my friends in like the most jhalla clothes without makeup. And I probably look like the most unkept, like homeless I look. I look very like... that's where my happiness and my comfort is. So I feel like whatever you achieve, you ghoom phir ke aap wohi cheeze karte ho jo aapko sachi mein pasand hai.
I feel you're very connected to who you were like before fame came into your life.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you look around you in your industry and you sometimes feel like, okay, why is this person changed so much? Or has something gotten into them?
Mujhe lagta hai log kabhi badalte nahi. Log wahi rehte hain. I feel like circumstances reveal that side of the person. That includes fame, name, money. So who you essentially are, that part never changes. And for me, that's what it's been. I mean, I was fortunate that name, fame, money came my way with the kind of work I chose to do. And I just chose to keep myself the same way because I just didn't know any better. I didn't want to do anything else.
Are you ready for an intense question?
Of course, I'm intense. So you can go ahead and throw as intense a question. Why are you so scared of...
I'm never scared. I'm just warming you up.
Okay. Oh God. Am I in for something I didn't know? Go for it, Ranveer. I have braced myself.
What's the void in your life right now? Where you said that you're not completely happy. And everyone's got a void. I'll tell you. My void is that I feel like my... the whole relationship part of my life isn't completely sorted yet. And it will be sorted in time. But that's what I'm looking forward to. Professionally, great. Spiritually, great. Intellectually, mentally, great. But probably the relationship thing is a void for me.
But I'll tell you one thing. That is a generation problem that we are facing. I think all of us, includes me also. Mm. For us, relationships, especially the romantic ones, are going to be difficult.
Especially if someone's a hustler like you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a nomad. I live out of a suitcase. Anyone who dates me is probably having a really hard... will have and is going to have a really hard time because of the kind of life I live. But the void in my life, if I were to actually answer that question, honestly, is peace, yeah. I feel like I'm really searching to be peaceful in whatever the circumstances. Because the more I see... I really have very little control over what happens. As much as I try to be in control of things, I find it very, very hard.
You don't feel peace on Saturdays and Sundays?
No, honestly, I don't have a Saturday, Sunday in my life because I work whenever there is a day to work because that's how I've made work.
Mm.
I'm someone who likes to work all the time. So nowadays, I think of Saturdays and Sundays as a weekend, which I've now put into my life. But say 2 years ago, I didn't even know what a Saturday and Sunday was. I would talk in terms of dates. If someone, my friends would call, would say like, you know, I want you free on this date. I'd be like, listen, don't tell me the day. Tell me the date because I want to know if I'm in town that point of time. So yeah, Saturdays and Sundays has not been a concept for me that I've lived with.
But if you're saying peace is what you search for, what is keeping you away from it? Is it that hustle of career? That you think of, okay, I want to be very professional. I want to perform really well in front of camera. I want to do well in my career. Is that what takes away from your peace?
I think we all have a perception of what, if we reach there, we will be happy or peaceful. And in that pursuit of that, of course, there are 10,000 things that go wrong in the process.
Yes. A lot of people say that I wish everyone becomes rich and famous to understand that that's not where the peace is.
You can say that again for sure. Because for whatever I've been lucky enough to get in my life, I think that adds to the craziness.
Mm.
That makes it even more difficult. It doesn't actually help in getting you closer to being peaceful.
Mm.
But
do you think you are one of the more peaceful people from the industry?
You see, none of us would really know because peace is an inside job, you know. It's like, I really don't know if you're peaceful or not.
But you are a very good reader of vibes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know that you know that as well. So
yeah, I mean, it's really not that hard. I think the moment you drop, you know what happens is, Ranveer, even when I'm doing an interview with you, I can have my guards up.
Hmm.
It's very easy.
Do you have your guard up right now? I'm an actor.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yaar?
Because even I can read vibes.
Is it? No, but actually, I personally think I don't have my guards up anymore. Mm. And that is because I don't really feel this. You know, maybe it's the lockdown. I don't know. It's just been such a reality check of what we actually need in our lives and how many things we actually have and the pace of life that we've... I don't know about you, but I've lived a very crazy pace where, you know, I'm trying to do 10 things in a day. Like today, I'm only doing an interview with you. But say if this was pre-COVID, I would have had your interview and some 10 other things to do.
Mm.
I'm like, I can't even peacefully do Ranveer's interview because I'm just doing so many things. And I had gotten used to living like that.
What are you working towards?
You know, I feel like the lockdown was a big, made me realize that I sleep well when I have a good day at work. So I think now I'm looking at each day. I'm not really looking at 10 years down the line. I don't understand only this 10 years ke baad aap kahan honge. Insaan agar zinda hoga to matlab fir dekha jayega kind of situation. But having said that, for me now, every day is important. Like I want to be aware of every day.
Hmm.
Like I want to be with, say if I'm with you, I want to be with you. I don't want to be like thinking about अरे मेरे life में ये problem चल रहा है, ये हो रहा है, वो हो रहा है. I want to be with you and I want to like whatever. It's the exchange of ideas or thoughts or whatever we are doing. At least do that, you know, in all honesty.
Mm. Do you ever think about like, and the only reason I'm asking you this is because a lot of my friends, the women who are like around my age,
suddenly, how old are you?
I'm 27.
I'm 30.
Okay, so it's like around, we're the same age. Yeah. Like, I've seen a lot of people like, you know, 90s kids, we're basically 90s kids.
Yeah.
are now in that phase where they're in their mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s. And suddenly all the girls especially are very concerned about aging. Even the guys are, but in different ways. Like, I've seen guys have health issues and other kind of
because
guy
issues. Because it's a stress ho jata hai. Log, pata nahi, aap ye jo umar pe aa jate ho, to log, pata nahi, shaadi ke baare mein itne utavle kyun ho jate hai.
You get shaadi pressure?
Of course. Like, I'm like any other average person because it is the typical age where, you know, there is this subconscious. It's not like it's in your face. Sometimes it's in your face also. Of course, there's some people who do it to you, so you're like, okay. But it's a subconscious thing ki, you know, settle ho jana hai. But if this settle ho jana is so unsettling, why are we pushing this generation to do it?
Why do you think it's unsettling?
For a lot of people, it is in the sense that they're doing it because more like it's the time to do it. If you actually give them their way, they'd not choose it.
What would you choose?
I mean, I am just going with the flow. I think you should marry when you find a person to marry. Like, if you feel you want to live with a person and you feel like your life is not nice and fun anymore alone, and this person, if the person is in your life, you feel good about your life, then that person should can add value to your life. So you should get married. That's my idea of marriage.
Are you ready for one more heavy question?
Of course, this is what this podcast is all about. And I'm so excited to do this podcast.
Okay. So, from your failed relationships, what have you learned about relationships?
I think we all have a pattern, whether we like it or not. And we are kind of the victim of our own patterns in our failed relationships, if we've had many. In my case, I think getting out of that pattern was very important.
By pattern, you mean like?
You make the same mistake. I mean, I don't think they were toxic. None of my exes were toxic at all. I think I met some really amazing people and I still wish them well. And not like this because I'm being politically correct. And I actually don't hate any of my exes. Because I think they were nice people.
Do you hate anyone?
Yeah. There are like 2-3 people on that list. I hate them. Like, I can use that strong word of hate.
What? Why?
I don't know. Yeah, they just make me feel hate. Like, it's not... And I know it's a very strong word to use for anyone. But some people deserve it.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it takes a lot to be outright mean to someone. And when people do that, and that too very consciously, like knowing exactly the effect it's going to have on you, then they're just mean people.
Okay, coming back to relationships. I'm going to tackle this part of your life also, but first relationship.
Go for it. Relationships it is.
So do you think that, like, you know, you should date someone really long before settling down with them, or you should live in with them, or you should travel with them before actually getting married to them?
You should travel with them.
Hmm.
I think it's really a huge, because everyone might not want to live in for XYZ reasons. And I feel like in India, it's also like not what everyone does. Some people do it, which is great. But for people who can't do that, I think traveling is the next best thing to do.
What do you look for in an ideal partner?
I think you should not have to walk on eggshells to be with them.
Expand that?
Like, you should not have to stress your day-to-day life. Because when your day-to-day life is a stress because of your partner, I don't think those relationships last. Even if you really get along with them, even if you have this strange soul connection with them, even if you think that when you're with them, you're ecstatic and you feel, you know, on top of the world. But if your day-to-day life is difficult, that's not the kind of life one can continue living. You get tired of that.
Yeah, I saw this on social media somewhere. Someone said that good chemistry doesn't necessarily mean compatibility.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Like, you can feel fireworks with some person.
And it will just yield to like a very messy relationship.
Yeah. And it's usually the relationships that start with a lot of fire where the fire actually fizzles out in time.
Unfortunately. And I, being a movie actor, have sold the idea of... I mean, it's also been sold to me. But I've also sold the idea of, you know, perfect romance, and I feel like that has ruined a lot of lives.
Though. Do you still believe in perfect romance?
Yes, with the right person. It might not be the first guy you meet or first girl you meet, but it's possible. I've seen it in my own house. My parents have a romance which I can't even believe exists. But touch wood, I think, God bless them. They've been so idealistic. It's made my life miserable. I'm finding it really hard to find a partner because they've set the goal up so high.
Why? I want to know about this high goal. Like,
because I don't know. Is it a generation problem that we're facing or is it an individual problem? But I think the previous generation found it much easier to put the other person before you. I don't see that in today's generation. It's all about
people
me.
Are selfish?
Yeah. Nothing wrong in being selfish, but I think love or care of any kind, I'm saying even in friendships, forget a relationship. I'm talking about even general friendships. You think about your friend before you think about yourself. And it's not something it's not a projection. It's not like you're trying to prove to the world, ki yaar dekho main itna achha insaan hu, main, you know, iske baare mein soch raha hu, main apne baare mein nahi soch raha. But it's about relationships or friendships are about care before love. Because love is, I don't know, it's very badly been used, so that terminology is ruined. But I think care, or just like that small things which really matter, I think those things make an actual relationship.
You know what love languages are?
I don't know actually. What do you mean by that?
Like, love languages are the way a partner can express love to the other person in the relationship. So I think there's four kinds of love languages. The first is like physical, like you hug and kiss and hold hands and all, and that's how you express your love to them. The second is verbal, where you say like, oh, I love you, or like, you know, and that's often like writers, poets, they'll say things like that. Those thoughts, that's me. So
that's sweet.
Like, where you'll express a lot. And that's why they say that girls fall for poets or girls fall for writers. And even the other way. Even guys, a lot of guys look for verbally great partners. The third is like quality time, where like that's how you express your love, where you're like, no, I just want to spend time with you, I don't want any
I think I'm that sort,
like you just want to be around.
I like to be like physically around the person, like hovering around for no reason. I don't need to talk to the person or interact with the person, but I like the presence.
And the fourth is material love, like as in they, and this is, it's just how some people are built. They know how to express love by giving someone expensive gifts, or, you know, like that's just how they've been brought up. They've been brought up probably being given expensive gifts.
They can afford it. Why not?
So speaking about material love, I want to know, I had like this one actor friend of mine who had told me that a lot of guys want to date her because she's an actor and they want to be able to say that, oh, by the way, this is my actor girlfriend. So have you sensed that in your world where people try wooing you?
No, I think I can really give this, I don't know, get away from me kind of vibe if I want to. No, actually, I don't. Sometimes even the ones I want don't, which is terrible. But I think somehow I don't have guys walking up. I think I'm the one who's normally...
Why do you think guys don't hit on you?
I don't know. Maybe I give that vibe, kiar, back off. But I don't think many guys hit on me.
At least
as much as they should.
How is a guy supposed to know that he's supposed to come and hit on someone?
I don't think this can be taught or can be told. Like, I don't think this is something you can tell anyone. It's just that either you're interested, so you reach out to the person.
Or you're intuitive and you know the vibe.
Yeah, or you're just creepy. You just want to hit on random people. Yeah.
But is it actually like weird being an actor from that perspective? Where you get like too much attention on you sometimes? So you have to always be concerned about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
How, like what what makeup's on.
Yeah.
That's what takes away from your piece?
Not really. Nowadays I just roam around like not bothered. And also now we're wearing masks right when we go out. So... saves us a lot of getting ready time. I feel like just always being presentable is exhausting. Because you don't always look like that. You don't wake up looking like that. And there's a high expectation out of you at any given point of time. Like, I mean, if you're having a bad day or you're sick, or you're just going through something really traumatizing, that will not stop anyone from coming and asking you for a selfie. Mm. And you will have to oblige because they don't know that you're going through that and they don't really care also, I think.
So you've worked like both in Bollywood and you worked in the South.
Yeah.
What's the cultural difference between like South India and the rest of India? Like, what do you feel? What's the difference between the people? I know you can't generalize.
Yeah, no, it's unfair to generalize. I agree because I think everywhere people are different. But I feel like here in the Hindi film industry, I've seen people being a lot more... There's the hierarchy is there, but it's not so much into your face.
Okay.
Like everyone works together and it's all very chill. I think there's a little more consciousness of hierarchy in the South, which is just the way they function. And I guess that's also just the way the industry's been all along.
Have you faced sexism like at any point in your whole career? Like do you notice it?
I think that's everywhere in our country, probably even in the world. Yeah.
But even today, like after you're fully established, like what, for sure. Like what happens?
Like your caravan will be a little further down than, you know, than your male counterpart. Something, this sounds kind of trivial.
No.
But it as a girl, I think these things really matter because sometimes you're in something really difficult to wear. And practically, you would imagine that they would want to put the lady first. But it doesn't happen.
Do you see that changing? Like as time is passing?
When the lady puts the foot down. I think women have to still put their foot down. To get that. Yeah. You get it. It's possible.
Which is also something I bring up a lot on our business podcast with a lot of women. Like they say that girls often don't ask for like things saamne se.
Because they feel they'll offend. And that's tragic. Yeah. But I think for women who have been able to put their foot down, I think it always does ruffle a few feathers.
Yeah.
And but I think there's no other way to do it.
Yeah. Like, so I grew up only with girls. Like, it was just sisters around me. And, you know, they've been like a big part of like just my thought process growing up. And all. Because as a guy, you make a lot of mistakes growing up.
Sure.
You know, you talk rudely to girls or you treat girls sometimes like how you would treat your guy friends, which is not correct, which includes slapping and things like that. Okay. Because that's how you're brought up around other guys.
Sure.
So you need a sister there to tell you, okay, no.
Nahi kar sakte.
Yeah, you can't treat them like how you treat your bros. And you know, that's the teenage version of it and the preteen version of it. But even when I was starting business, two of my sisters got together. They made me sit down. They told me, okay, good, you're doing business, but know this thing. And they explained this whole asking concept to me that women might often not ask for, you know, a raise that they think they deserve or the next opportunity that they want in business. So sometimes as a male boss, you're supposed to look out for these things.
Yeah.
And that's actually been game-changing advice. Like on our company, we have like, I think like a 60%-ish female workforce. And they're like the stars of our organization.
Sure.
But I just feel like more Indian businesses, plus India in general, needs to kind of change these little things. You said like the subtle, subtle sexism.
They're very subtle. What I also feel is, I think if we really want to eradicate this problem, we need to start looking at men and women as human beings. I think we largely as a country have that problem.
Yeah.
We don't look at people as human beings and as just living creatures who need to be respected. We don't have respect for animals.
We
don't
have boxes.
Respect for human beings. We don't have respect for life.
Yeah, like Sadhguru talks about this actually. He says that there's only like one physical difference between a man's body and a woman's body.
Yeah.
But people look at that one small difference, which is probably 1% of your whole existence, as like a 50 or 60% weightage.
Yeah.
Which is the next question I want to ask you. We're in your house right now and I'm seeing like...
Welcome to my home.
So much spirituality around me. Like you guys can't probably see it in the frame.
Yeah.
But there's like a huge spiritual presence in this house.
Thank you.
So, and I know that, you know, you've been to Isha.
Yeah.
You've tried your hand at meditation. You do yoga.
Yeah.
That's what's getting you more of the peace in life.
No, I don't think yoga can get you peaceful. Peace is a very... you know, I think till we as humans and individuals don't take it into our own hands and we keep blaming this and that and exterior forces. That includes yoga. The more you try to bring in things to bring you peace, it just doesn't happen. It's just something you have to do for yourself.
So
yeah.
Chal, I'm going to ask you this because you've been on front of the camera for way longer than I have. I've just been doing this for like 4 or 5 years of my life. I've reached a stage where I see fame going up, okay? And I wake up every day. I don't know whether this is because of lockdown or what, but I wake up every day with this little sense of like, where's my life going? Like, all this is great. I'm working hard. I know what I'm doing. But where is all this going? Like, that whole existentialism question pops in.
Yeah.
And the answer to existentialism often is spiritual practice. That's what all the yoga schools, the spiritual schools teach you, that everyone has this void of not knowing their internal purpose after their career is sorted. After you know, okay, my career is done now. Like, I know that it's going well. But there, you still feel empty beyond the point. It's that same concept of you need to become rich and famous and then realize that that's not it.
Correct.
So do you still have that? Do you wake up with existential questions where you're like, where is... Why am I doing this? Why am I working so hard?
I used to ask that a lot. In fact, that's like when I started journaling when I was like 12. That was the first question that I wrote down. It's like, who am I? It was the first question I wrote down.
Like, you look at your hands and say, why am I this?
Yeah, why am I this? So who am I? This was like the first thing that popped up into my head. But I feel like if you really want to answer that question, is that you need to stop obsessing about it. Even trying, when you try, right? I think the biggest problem is we try too hard. You know, sleep, peace, poop, all happens when you chill.
Like, you just need to go with the
flow.
You
need to just chill it. You know, you cannot, the more you push things, the more further away they get from you. And I think for me, that's my answer to what happens after you've professionally reached where you want to reach. And especially, I would like to ask you, what do you think? What has fame done for you? What changes has it brought in your life?
Like, I think my core need in life is that I want money to be able to create change. Like, that's what I'm working towards. And fame is the step towards that money. But it's like the same thing you said, that it's taken away a lot of personal space.
Yeah.
Where I can't just go for walks and all that anymore. Like, you know, like, and that's who I really am. I want to wear shorts and just get out of my house and all that.
Oh, you also have a problem wearing shorts.
Yeah. So, something like that. I mean, like, people...
I thought it was more a girl problem.
No, people take you less seriously. They expect you to be always be wearing...
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know whether it's a YouTuber thing or... It's also the brand I've created. It's like very suit wearing and like all that. So once people see you in gym shorts, it's a little... off for them.
People are so judgmental, that means.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, I mean... You know, they come, they'll meet you, they'll say, oh, we didn't expect you to be so normal. Like, you know, I'm like, dude, I'm just like you. It's just that I found myself in this life. But to answer your question, lately, like, I have up and down relationships with fame. Sometimes I really enjoy it because I see what it does.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I think that why am I chosen? I also have a strong sense of this thing that anything you create is not your own. Like, everything works through you.
Yeah.
Especially if you write, if you think of even businesses, those ideas of business that
you
pop.
You don't know
how
the hell they pop,
exactly.
Right? It's so weird.
Yeah. And then after I've read a lot of spiritual books, I've realized that often if you're spiritually aligned, those pops happen way more. And that's what I've noticed in my life also. Like, the more I got into my meditations, the more I got into my sense of faith, the creativity expanded a lot. Like, if I could think of only one video per week, today I'm thinking of like 5.
Yeah.
And that's not age. That's not a part of being at the process. That there is some higher power. And then I questioned a lot of the people on the podcast. People like yourself. People like Amish Tripathi. People like, you know, these big businessmen, army people. I asked them that, what happens in your bodies when you all are going into like combat? And all of them said the same thing. We feel there's an external force acting through us. You know who Prateek Kuhad is, right?
Sorry, I don't know him, but Prateek, you can enlighten me.
He's a very big indie singer.
Right.
And even he, like, each of his songs, when you listen to it, you know that there's something different about this guy's music. Like, how the first time we heard A.R. Rahman, you know that there's something different about A.R. Rahman.
Yeah.
I feel the same thing with Prateek. I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying that they both give you that.
Absolutely.
And even A.R. Rahman says this. I've read interviews of his where he said the same thing, that it's never you yourself creating your wealth or your career. It's always an external force acting through you.
So tell me one thing. How much of what you think you are today is what you have read and amassed? And how much is something that you've experienced and discovered on your own? Not something you've read or something you've been exposed to.
I think it's like a nice equal 50-50.
Right.
Like,
and if you could point out something that you've experienced, not something you've read, what would that be?
I feel like when you take action, like towards doing things, that action will teach you a lot more about life. Like, we're talking about great relationships.
Yeah.
And both of us probably know, like, and you and me just broke down what a good relationship is. But if a bad relationship comes into our life, we won't be surprised. We'll be like, yeah, ye ho gaya. Yeah. Despite knowing everything about good relationships.
Yeah.
So when you actually get to action, that teaches you way more. So I've had that a lot. I teach people about relationships, but I've also not had like perfect relationships.
Because we're a bunch of hormones yeah. and chemicals.
100%. Temptation comes in the way of yeah. theory and spiritual
Yeah, and then journeys. You're like, my brain's actually of no use.
Or even like, it could even be things like I know you're a spiritual person and you know, just the way you treated everyone around you. Like I know you're a good person. Like I've seen that difference between say you and other film
people.
Film stars that I've like spoken to, and there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And you in your heart know that you're supposed to send out love and treat people well.
Yeah.
But somewhere in your heart, there's that human element that still hates those two people you were talking about.
Because we are human, yeah. you know, Ranveer. I think the least we can do to ourselves is cut ourselves some slack. Because I think, I don't know about other people, but for me, I think I've been very harsh on myself.
Like
and I think that's one of the biggest principles of yoga that I've killed. Also, I've been trying to harm this mic. I think yoga, what it's taught me more than just putting my body into different postures is that is ahimsa to yourself. Because you know what we do is whatever we are doing to ourselves is actually what we are projecting out to other people.
Yeah,
so if 100%. We cannot love ourselves, we cannot love anyone else.
Are you in that zone of loving yourself?
Yes, I am. And I'm trying to discover how to do it. I'm very bad at it though. So I think I need to really work on that aspect. But I feel like if you are hard on yourself, right, you will do it to people you work with. You will do it to people you interact with. Because you think, main apne aap ko aise hi treat kar rahi hu, to main dusre ko ye sahi tarika treat karne ka. Starts with you. So if I have learned anything from my yoga practice, it is like even in a yoga posture, if you cannot stretch, if I cannot touch my toe, I can touch my shin. But if I want to force and touch my toe, that's being harsh to yourself. You have to breathe into reaching your toe.
In what way are you harsh to yourself?
I love working at a fast pace. And sometimes I think that physically gets overwhelming for me, but I still like, I'm like, you know, doesn't matter. Drink two more coffees and just do your thing. Because I like it. Some part of me likes it, but then it's also detrimental and it's causing me harm physically. So, and then eventually emotionally as well, because it's all in tune, right? So, there was a phase where I literally came to a film set and I was just pooped out of emotions. I had nothing to offer. Like I had to cry. I was like, I can't cry because nothing left in me because I've exhausted myself. So I feel like that should not happen to an actor.
Do you think that's why the world has given you so much also? Because there's a lot of people who would love to be where you are in life.
Yeah, but I realize that.
There's a reason you're given it and not other people.
Yeah, that is true. You know, that's the problem. If you don't do it also, you don't get what you get. But I guess it's this process of trying to strike a balance. Because, of course, if I were to simplify it and put it, I'd say you can't run a marathon every day. You know, it has to be run the marathon and take a break. I have tried to run the marathon in perpetuality, which is not good.
What else have you done correct in your life that you think you've landed up where you are?
I've been very disciplined. Very, very. And I'm very, I really go with my heart. Like sometimes it's so impulsive. I think it's the Sagittarian in me, which makes me do this. I'm so impulsive. Like I will just jump into doing something and I'll be like, why did I even do this? And most of my good decisions and some of also my very, very bad decisions have been impulsive. But I'd still choose that route.
You're an execution and action-based person.
Yeah. But one thing I also firmly believe in is to experience. Because I was in that phase where I was reading a lot. I was watching a lot. And I was trying to search this something outside that would help me sort my life out. Because, you know, I was big into self-help at that point. But I realized that, you know what, there's only one thing that I need and that is myself to sort me out. And it's sad when you can't be there for yourself. So it's more about you. It's really not about anything external. I stopped searching for it.
So what was coronavirus like?
It was like a train that I did not see coming my way. I was shooting the night before. I got a very strong fever, a very high fever. I was working out and I did my shoot. I came back to my room, landed up with high temperature, and I was like, here we go again. Because I had gone through it with my parents, so I kind of knew that I was in trouble. I woke up in the morning, my temperature was not going down, and my oxygen was low. Typical, not surprising. Then I have to really thank my producer. His name is Pradeep. He is the producer for a web show I'm doing for AHA, which is a Telugu web portal. And he literally like rushed me into the hospital in 10 minutes. I was in the hospital. And then there was a bunch of doctors and, you know, medical staff that really gave me the top-notch treatment that I needed for 5 days. That's a hospital called Continental Hospitals in Hyderabad. And yeah, in 5 days, they got me out of the hospital. Then I was quarantined. I stayed quarantined for as long as I had to. And yeah, but I think it was really scary because I've never been hospitalized before. When I went through
You had trouble breathing?
Yes. The funny part is, I wasn't realizing I'm having this trouble. I was getting very tired 3-4 days prior to that. I was shooting also. I was getting tired and I was like, you know what? I was also working out very hectically. So I was thinking, yaar, main bahut zyada workout kar rahi hun. I'm pushing. All of a sudden, after the lockdown, I've gotten just dived into work. So I'm fatigued. That was my logical explanation to myself. But yeah, I was experiencing that, but I wasn't realizing it. Probably because at this age, we are a lot fitter, right? And we're if someone who trains and all, we are used to physical pain, hum bardasht kar sakte, toh we think ki ye normal. I had body ache. I had immense body ache. Like I was taking like massages in between shots. I had that much pain. And I was like, nahin, main bahut zyada lift kar liya hai, kar liya. Toh I was like, that's the problem. But yeah, the entire hospital journey was, that's when you realize that you are alone in, you know, in life, unfortunately. I mean, there are very big things that happen in your life. Of course, my parents actually flew down to Hyderabad from Mumbai. But of course, we couldn't meet. My parents are a huge, I mean, I have to mention this because I feel like my life or my achievements are incomplete without their constant support. And yeah, I think the reason I have achieved anything that I have is largely due to my parents.
Did you, I mean, it's a dark question, but did you like think about death at any point?
Sure. For sure, because it's not unheard of that people, and my case was not as simple. I did have severe symptoms. So, and it's an open thing. Even now, I'm constantly hearing of cases of people who are like on the road of recovery and they pop. It's possible.
What did you learn from it?
I learned that like give what you really want in life time and effort.
You're a new person after
100%.
COVID.
And I can't fake it anymore. Like I'm in that phase that, you know, Ranveer, if I'm not enjoying this conversation, probably tell you to your face that, listen, I'm not liking it. But I'm loving it, I'd say, Ranveer, can we do this? Can we have a longer interview? Because I'm really, really having fun.
Are you
enjoying
this?
Loving
this. Oh, okay,
and cool. I'm really thankful to you to actually get me on a podcast because I think I also feel so much like myself while I am here and I can really talk stuff that I firmly believe in. So.
What do you think about, like, other than like films, what goes on in your head, like about life, about, you know, because I know you're a very motivated person and I'm sure you think about films a lot. Do you think about your next project, your next character?
I want to really work with kids. Like, I want to work with kids to, I don't know. I don't know how I will do this. In fact, this is like a very deep-rooted desire that I have, which I've never kind of verbalized.
Do you think about having kids?
Of course. In the future, I would. I would love to have kids. Although I still think I am a kid. And I'm still yet to figure out. Yeah. I don't know how it will be to have kids because it's a bit... But I see my friends having them and they're fabulous mothers. Scares me a little. I'm a little scared about motherhood, to be honest.
What are you scared of? That you may not be capable of being a mother?
No, it's like you have to dissolve yourself. You don't exist.
Do you think about balancing career and motherhood?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I can do... I cannot live without what I do. So I'm definitely going to have to balance the two.
I feel there's damn different pressures on actors and actresses. Like, I feel
Yeah, you
like...
can't look puffy. Even if you're on your deathbed.
But, I mean, y'all have, like, these pressures of, like, I'm sure even the actors do. But I feel there's much more pressure on y'all about makeup and like how you look and how old y'all are.
Do you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
Right after I got out of Corona, I was on some heavy shit medication. And I've had people call me and say, hey, you know, you were looking a little fat in your pictures. And I'm like, I had nothing to say to them. Because I feel like, what is wrong with people?
Mm.
Are we that insensitive?
Mm.
That we cannot see a person has gone through an illness and that we are that insensitive.
Mm.
And yeah, and I find that really funny. I think I was very humored when I heard that.
Yeah, it's a harsh world. That's also the downside of fame. People don't understand. You're too scrutinized. What's the difference in the pressure on the actors? Like, how I said that for women, it's probably very much looks oriented, very much, how you present it. What's the difference in the pressure for the male actors?
I think their pressures are worse. But it's just that we don't see it that much. It's the money. It's the kind of money that's riding on them. Sometimes as women, we are like, you know, your paycheck is not the same as them. But we don't realize. And I have some really dear colleagues who, you know, when their one film doesn't do well, the brickbats they get for that one film bombing is nothing close to what happens to us.
Like what happens?
The market value. The pressure of having to perform to create better content the next time around. See, an actor, lead actors also, have only so much control over content. See, unlike you, you make YouTube content. You have full control over what goes out. As an actor, I have only so much control. And that equation will never change. Because as an actor, I can only come and perform. I can give my inputs. I can say, I don't like this. I like this. I want it this way. Change it. I can say all that. I have that right. But the final execution, because there are 24 crafts working on it, wo aapke haath mein nahi hota. And wo sabse, sometimes, why do bigger big hero films flop? They would never flop if that was not the case. But because they flop, because there's so many other people working on the film. And when that happens to them, it's hard. I don't think I want to be in that.
But you've seen people going through shit?
Yeah, it's some of my really, really close friends from the industry. They've been shattered because the expectation was huge and it bombed also at that range only. So for them, you know, to get back, you know, is really difficult.
What do people not know about the industry, which you only know on the inside?
We are laborers in really good clothes. It's labor. It's a very laborious job. We work physically very, very hard. It requires you to be physically, emotionally, mentally there. Which is unlike any other job. Like if I'm on a desk, I don't really care about how I look. But here I have to look right, I have to feel right, and I have to think right. So it's like when you're doing a drunken scene, you can't really like drink a bottle of wine and then try to perform. I need to remember dialogues. So I'm going to have to act like I am drunk.
Is it true that actresses would always prefer a spouse from outside the film industry?
I think each one to his own. There are lots of people who married in the film industry and it works beautifully.
But what's this logic? Like, why do they say that in the first
place? You know, see what happens is you live a certain life. If your spouse also does the same thing, then your life becomes only about that. There is no other perspective in your life. It's my opinion. I mean, this could be different for other people. For me, I think if I'm doing this and my partner also is doing this, then we are only talking about this. There's nothing, there's no third element of... And I feel like to have a holistic life, it's important to have another perspective.
So in as much detail as you can you describe your dream man?
My dream man, okay. Let me just visualize now.
Everything, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever.
I should be able to talk to the person a lot about anything. I should have fun. I should not feel judged while I'm with that person.
What do you think they judge you about?
I don't know. I mean, people can be like judgmental about stupid shit. But I feel like, you know, when you... And I think it's a very person thing. Like, either a person is judgmental and he's judgmental with everyone and everything. Or you're just not a judgmental person. You know, like, you don't sit and calculate what the other person is. Okay, like, don't immediately form an opinion. So, and someone who's self-made. I think that really matters to me.
Why does that matter?
I'm self-made. I think that's one thing I would like in common. Because I feel like you value every penny. Also, the kind of values I'd want in my future kids. Or like my family, that would be my family, would be someone who really understands that you know, you have to work for everything and it doesn't come easy.
Mm. Also, that journey of becoming self-made adds a whole layer to your personality.
Yeah. You change
because you have
completely.
To go through so much shit.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So it's very enriching when you are self-made.
Mm. With people who are not self-made from your own industry, who have definitely come in through influence or the N-word.
Yeah.
like, do you sense a difference in personalities? The N-word is nepotism.
Of course. It's like... Yeah, it's like such a popular word now.
But do you sense a difference in personality? Like versus the self-made people?
Like there what? Is, but I still feel like their journey, their problems are different than say someone who's not from the industry. But yes, there is a innate sense of surety, which comes with the fact that somewhere, see, it's a very deep-rooted security that you have. That you're from here, so you know it's going to be easier to get your way around.
Hmm.
Say someone who is from outside will still always be like, "Arey, what if my opportunity is not with me?" And I've seen that. I've seen it in some really big, successful actors who are self-made and not from the film industry, who experience that insecurity. And it's surprising because sometimes they're doing so well, but that sense of insecurity doesn't leave them.
Hmm.
Which is, I think, also good because as a creative person, that sometimes fuels you. So if they've been able to channelize that well, you know, that does them good.
Are people happy overall in the industry?
That's a really hard question to answer. I don't think they would actually, if I would be honest. And I think it comes from the fact that if you are happy and content, it does bring a little bit of... you become complacent because happiness does bring that little element in you.
You think everyone's going for that next thing.
And that's the only way we can even survive in our careers. If we are not going for the next thing, we have to be driven. And that drive comes from a little bit of dissatisfaction. So, of course, dissatisfaction has to be used well.
Mm.
If it's not used well, then it's destructive. But otherwise, it's good.
Do you think of your life at 40?
No. I don't. I actually don't because I feel like I thought too much about my life at when I will be 30.
And
it's nothing like that. Yeah. Mm. It's nothing like what I thought. 30. I thought I'll feel different. I still feel 13. I still feel like a kid. I still feel, actually feel the same.
Mm.
I thought I'll be doing different things. I thought I'll have kids. I'll have a family. I would have given up acting. I would have taken sannyas, and I don't know, like I had like I'll be set, but I think I had a very wrong perception of what set will be in my life. So yeah, I feel like right now, honestly, I feel like a newcomer who's just starting off my career and just like I'm trying to like work it up. So I'm in that zone, so unlike what I thought I will be when I was 20. So that's why I have no idea of 40.
Do you sense jealousy around you, people who wish to be in your place?
Yeah, I sense it. And I understand that a lot of people mask it in very, very sweet behavior. You know, like sometimes when someone's really jealous of you, they'll be really sweet to you, which is like the classic meethi churi.
Who's jealous of you? Like other actresses?
I don't know. I guess people from my fraternity, people who are working. I don't know if they're jealous. That's a big term to say. But
no, but they have that conniving thing. They do want to pull you down.
I hope not. But I think possibly they could. I think everyone does.
That's
right?
Status game nature.
Yeah, I think that is there. But I guess it doesn't come to me. Like, I don't really experience it firsthand. It's probably in their head, I assume.
You asked me about fame.
Yeah.
That's one toxic aspect of my life I don't enjoy. Yeah. That I sense a lot of jealousy around me as well. Like, from multiple things, like from...
What do they think you have that they think they
don't?
They
see an upward trajectory. Okay. They see shit going well. Like they see opportunity.
That's a problem to people that
because
your shit's going well.
Yeah, that why are opportunities lining up for this guy and not me?
Because they probably aren't even working as hard or even putting that... You know, I feel like that's really unfair when you see people wanting to do as well as you do, but they put like 10% of the effort.
Yeah. And, you know, I hate saying this, but it's one bad aspect of Indian society.
Yeah.
I spoke about this to Amish Tripathi, who his job is to study Indian history.
Right.
And people think that what does a historian do? Studies history.
Yeah.
But why do they study history? Historians are supposed to be the predictors of the future.
Yeah.
They've studied history to understand patterns to be able to say that, okay, this is what's likely going to happen.
Yeah.
So I asked Amish Tripathi in detail that why, first of all, why did India get taken over by Europeans? And upar se, why has India gotten invaded so much?
Yeah.
And he said that even back then, there was a status game mentality where people would fight each other. Like yeah. neighboring kingdoms would fight each other. It's that much a part of our culture. Where just if you're born in India, and I've seen this difference, I've traveled all over the world, and I've seen a lack of a status game in other parts of the world. I'm not saying it's not there,
yeah.
but it's way lesser than it is here.
Because I don't think we really value what we've had or what we have. And what we have is immense. Coming to a topic like Ayurveda, I know you're into it big time. And it's been a huge part of my life in the past 1 year, and I've incorporated largely in my... It started with my diet and with lifestyle. And I feel a huge change after having incorporated that. And that's such ancient wisdom, which we've taken extremely lightly as a generation. And I really, and in fact, I try to speak about it at every platform I get the opportunity to, because I feel like our generation is the generation that needs it so much more than ever before.
We need balance.
We need that so badly. And we need to like change our lifestyle. I think our lifestyle is quite toxic for us.
Like, what have you changed? Like, what have you dropped from your life?
So, during the lockdown, I learned how to chew slowly. Chew my food slowly. Because I think I lived... It sounds... Again, these things sound really small, but they cause a lot of stress in your life. Last year, I think a big change I made was oil pulling, which is another ancient Ayurvedic practice.
Have you heard of FitTuber?
Sorry.
This YouTuber called FitTuber?
No, I haven't.
He's like...
He's into it?
Yeah, he's probably India's best health YouTuber. Wow. That guy's content... Like, if you're even marginally inclined towards Ayurveda, he's the guy who's read all the ancient Ayurveda books. And I know him personally. Sure. I know the actual passion he has for it.
Sure.
You should see his content.
I will check it out. Yeah. I'd love to. Because I'm big into it. And I feel like so many things that we can do that make our lives so much better.
That thing you said about our generation needing it.
Yeah.
I strongly feel like we're the generation called the mental health issues generation now.
Oh God, that's
like
terrible.
Yeah, and it's a harsh truth, but it is a truth. And it
shouldn't be though, right?
You know why it is? It's primarily because of social media. Like yeah. So for example, like again, you and me are way similar to someone who's even a year younger than me. Because yeah. when we were kids, like you got you're 89 born, right?
Yeah, I'm 89 born.
So social media came in 2006, so you were like 17 years old. I was like around 14, 13. Yeah. But if you are a 9-year-old who's given Facebook in his hand, your whole existence becomes likes, comments, shares, yeah. getting validation from the outside world. And yeah. that becomes your reality. That's what causes the mental health issues.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's just unfortunate, but which is why even I'd really try promoting Ayurveda, I try promoting meditation. Not everyone latches onto it because they just put that tag of, okay, this is just some old school shit.
Yeah.
I'm too cool for this. Without ever experiencing it themselves. And I feel that like even, so I turned vegetarian about 2 years back. And I was that guy who used to shout at vegetarians for being vegetarian. Oh, you were same? So you know what I mean. Plus you're Punjabi, right?
I'm Sindhi, yeah.
Okay, so it's the same.
So
similar
mutton
thing.
Is life. Not anymore though.
Yeah, but I would fight with people about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, me too. I'd be like, what ghaspoos are you
yeah.
eating? I would totally do that.
But after putting my own body through it, now I understand what they were talking about.
Yeah. Did it change you temperamentally?
Yeah, it removed all the aggression.
Yeah,
and you know what you say? It's not aggression towards the outside world. It's aggression towards yourself. Like,
exactly.
I'm sure you felt the same when you were talking about ahimsa.
Exactly.
What happened to
I became
head?
Very chilled out. Like, anger. Like, I used to get like a short fuse. I used to be like, top and I used to get angry. Now I became like, haan, theek hai na. Like, my anger has gotten subsided considerably. I don't get agitated as much. Aggression, it was primarily, but also I feel like the only negative part that I felt with this, which probably I think I should talk about because this is experiential, not something that I've read, is that I think for the job I do, I need aggression.
That determination.
Like my workouts changed. I did feel like I couldn't go aggressive, which I could before. Which I'm trying to find a way around now because I feel like how do I crack that?
Yeah.
Also, I feel like every body is unique. And I think we need to respect that. I also feel like parents need to respect kids when they say, ki mujhe ulti aa rahi hai, meko doodh nahi peena. Because probably they're intolerant to it. And as a country, we've always been like you know, we have been given food like as a part of our culture.
Mm.
So it's not necessary that, although it's a part of our culture, it suits us individually. So yeah, I think that awareness has come to me in these past 2 years.
Do you have a sense of competition?
Yeah, I do. I am competitive. I'm not someone who
professionally speaking.
Professionally, yeah. Like, only professionally. Otherwise, I have zero competition.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it.
No, but I think in the world of films and the world of sport, competition's needed.
But that is just the way it works. Like, it's how else do you fuel yourself?
Mm.
Of course, you want to do your best. And
do you believe in karma and rebirth?
I believe in karma for sure. I don't understand the concept of rebirth, so I don't have an opinion on it. But then if I were to answer that question, I feel like, yeah, sometimes why do we feel like we're so connected to someone who we've just met?
Hmm.
There has to be something. Why are we drawn to those people? And sometimes you have these very strange conversations with strangers. And you're like, why did I just blurt this out? And I feel like that somewhere has to do something with rebirth, I guess. So I guess that is an actual thing. I don't know if it's scientifically proven. Is it scientifically proven?
No, not yet.
Not yet. But then a lot of things are not, but they still exist, I think.
Hmm.
So I think we as a nation have been very spiritual, and a lot of our findings are based on spirituality. And we really like look down upon it. I think we need to take it a lot more seriously than we do.
Do you feel you're becoming more spiritual as you grow? And what is spirituality for you? I'll tell you what it is for me.
Go ahead.
It's like a few basic factors. The top of which I've realized over time is meditation. Like, meditation is a huge part of spirituality. You know how intermittent fasting works, right?
Yes.
You're giving a break to your body because of the fast.
Yeah.
Meditation is like that for the mind. It's something Naval Ravikant also says. And there must be some reason that all the CEOs of the world and all
talk
the founders...
talk about it. Yeah.
But when you go deeper into the world of meditation, you realize the intellectual benefits, the physical benefits, but also the spiritual benefits.
Yeah.
I feel like along with your career, there's this parallel path you're running, which is the path of karma. And your job is to constantly be a good person, be very honest with your work, meditate. All these things advance you on that path also. The way if you have a hit, in the same way that if you have a hit film, you'll get even more opportunity like tomorrow because you've already proven yourself.
Yeah.
Karma and the game works in the same way.
Yeah.
Spirituality does believe, like the world of spirituality does believe in the concept of rebirth. Where it's like at the end of your life, depending on how much karma you've accumulated or how much you've up in life, you're either given a better existence or a worse existence.
Yeah.
And at some point you work your way up to such a better existence that you get what they call mukti or enlightenment, or what Buddha went through, what Mahavir went through, what all these saints go through.
Yeah.
But that's a long, very long path. And a part of that long path of karma is your how generous you are from your heart. Like if you're indulging in charity, is it actually coming out of your heart? Are you giving it with emotion? Or are you just giving it for charity, for the sake of charity?
Yeah.
If you're treating someone well, are you treating them well, you know, from your heart? Or are you just like trying to show the world that you're a good person? So all these things also matter. And karma, people often think it's just your actions or your work. It's also like on a very deep spiritual level, it's also your thoughts. Even your thoughts have karma. So if you're sitting here, like, and I know you're a good person, and I can sense the vibe you have right now. So you're genuinely like listening and you're enjoying this conversation. But if in your head, the thought is, shit, I just want to get out of this conversation.
Yeah.
That's a small level of aggression towards me.
Yeah.
So even those thoughts may hold good or bad karma.
Sure.
But that's at a very deep spiritual level.
Sure.
So that's my understanding of it. And spirituality and business are the only two kinds of books I read. I only read these two things.
Right.
And all the spiritual books say the same things again and again.
So if you were to say one thing... I mean, I know it's very hard to verbalize what meditation is because it's not really something one can verbalize for anyone who's actually done it. But what do you think you do when you meditate?
So on a physical level, you focus on one thing, which is like when they say, oh, focus on your breath, only your breath, or focus on all the sounds around you, or focus on one mantra. It's all, the logic is that you focus on one thing, that's the path. But in actuality, what do you do? So for example, right now we're doing this podcast. You're very conscious of a mic in front of you. You're conscious of Rajas recording this. You're conscious of me talking to you.
Yeah.
And you're also thinking, okay, I have to talk to Nayandeep after this in that other interview.
Yeah.
There are all these thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
Even if you're focusing on me,
yeah,
there are other thoughts in your head. In meditation, we focus on one thing, But through that one thing, you're also focusing on what we call omnipresence. Like when they say, okay, God is omnipresent or the universe is everywhere around us.
Yeah.
You go to the moon, it's the same universe as the one on the earth. You go to Bihar, it's the same universe as the one in Maharashtra.
Yeah.
So that thing that's everywhere, like everyone says, okay, I feel a higher power. I don't believe in God, but I believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
And that's everywhere all around us. So in meditation, through the path of focusing on that one mantra or that one, your own breath, you're getting reconnected to that one thing.
Yeah.
Where you're not focusing on these multiple aspects of that one thing and focusing on it as a whole.
Hmm.
So that's the heavy explanation of it.
Okay,
but so you're welcome to...
So what... I first of all don't feel like there's anything right or wrong. I feel like everyone has a different experience while they walk the path of life. And everyone's individual experience is right because it's their experience. For me, when it comes to spirituality, and I haven't meditated half as much as you have to actually make a comment on it, but what I think and what I think I understand of it is to be in a state where there is nothingness. And that's the aim of being meditative, because while there's a constant thing of thoughts going on, it doesn't give our mind a break. So only when we are not thinking but we are in the moment is when we are meditative. So for me, even this interview is meditative, because while I was in this interview with you, I was actually not focusing on the cameraman or on my next interview, but I was actually focusing on you, because for me, being in the moment is what's important. So what I started to do is, if I intend on increasing spirituality in my life, I need to bring it in every aspect of my life. I hope.
I'm very sure about you.
I really hope so. So for me, it's just, I do it in everything. Like, I sometimes just sit, I don't actually meditate or focus on anything, but I can sit and do nothing. And I think it's very underrated to not do anything.
Don't you think that in the nothingness there is the everything also?
Well, that's what we're seeking, right? But I think the lesser we try, I think we are likely to get there.
Do you pray?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's a lot more like asking, less of prayer. But I do believe in gratitude. I think that's come to me a lot more during this entire corona phase, because I think we've not thanked, at least I haven't thanked people who are very pivotal to me in my life. And now I make a very conscious and almost like a very proactive effort in thanking people, because I feel like I can't do most of the things I do without the help of a lot of people. So I think gratitude is something that I've really realized that it is very important, and it's not really about the other person, it's about yourself.
What do you pray for?
I pray for like very small things, yeah. Like sometimes I'm like, let this day be shorter. I am a very basic person. So I have very basic desires. I'm like, can my coffee be good today? Like really, they're like things that are actually, because I think they make my day better. Small things. So I don't think I don't ask for big things, because I think I've been gifted that by the universe a lot before I asked for any of it. But I feel like the small things, which seem small, but
do you feel you've just landed up here? Like, does a part of you feel that?
Landed up here as in on earth or like in life?
In your career.
Yeah, it's not something I could have thought, and it all kind of happened to me. And then of course I put in the effort, I did all that I needed to do, but it all happened to
me. Why is the universe acting through you in this way? What's your purpose?
Well, just like I'm sure the tree outside has a purpose, I might have a purpose. So I don't know what the purpose is though. I hope it's to make people laugh and smile
and give great podcasts.
And give great podcasts. And also to make me feel fantastic when I'm in front of the camera. But yeah, I guess I'm not much different than the tree that's right outside our window right now.
Got it. Okay. And my final question to you is that if you had to just give, like, from 30 years of your life, if you had to condense it down to like 3 learnings, what would you share with the world?
There is no time. There's no right time for something. The right time is now.
Take action.
Take action. Don't wait. We all procrastinate, but don't wait. Don't try too hard. And seize every moment to be happy. whatever that, it could be something small. Do that small thing that makes you happy, not the bigger things, because those things seldom in your hands. So just do the small things that make you happy.
And what would you like to tell your future husband watching this podcast?
Very lucky man, I must say. No, I'd like to say, please, can we meet faster? Because it's already very late. So let's make this quick.
Beautiful. Thank you, TB.
Thank you, Ranveer. This was a lot of fun. It's my first podcast.
Did you have fun?
I loved it. I really had a very huge cup of coffee, and I don't know why I did that, because this was as effective as my very big coffee.
Good. I'm glad you had fun. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Ranveer. Thank you, guys. Okay.